Hello and welcome to the show today. Today we have a unique guest with us, and I say unique loosely because everyone who I have on the show is unique in their own uniqueness and their own path and their own journey. However, this person, he is unique in the sense that he is a jack of not all and not many, but a ton of trades, and a freelancer, as he says, like nobody's business. And as you will learn on the show, he also has a great sense of humor, and he has a very energetic and fun personality. This person says that he's an active American Filipino guy that's seeking out the most out of life. And if you ask his friends, family, and associates, they will say that's an understatement. And I think you'll get the gist of that as you listen to him today. His interests are many. Some of his top priorities are photography, and he loves taking pictures as well as being in the pictures. Music, he loves listening, playing, attending concerts, and karaoke. Maybe he'll sing us a little karaoke while we're on the show. No, just kidding. He also loves sports, football, soccer, and working out. And he enjoys socializing, dancing, clubs, bars, hosting parties, and attending parties. So he says he usually is equipped with about 14 jobs, like as he says, honorary Jamaican. Some of his jobs include, currently he works with Costco as a supervisor. He is an event DJ and an Instacart shopper. And he has also been a business consultant, an ordained minister, a trivia host, game show host, Photoshop instructor, blogger, videographer, a published writer. And he tells me that that's only just the beginning. So the list goes on. One of his favorite quotes is, "You can only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." And he says whenever he participates in management or icebreaker type of deals, and the question is asked, "If you had a warning label, what would it be?" So I am going to leave it right there, and I'm going to let our special guest tell us himself, what would that warning label be? So I would like to introduce to you Carlos Bain.
Well, thank you so much for that warm welcome, Catherine. I really appreciate the buildup. I was like, boy, I have got felt like I was a celebrity and about to be introduced to a basketball court or a stage with bright lights and music. But gosh, that was like really cool. I'm Carlos Bain. Jack of many trades, not all trades, but I like to think that those trades facilitate anything associated with fun. And that warning label would be that there is no off switch. Based on my list of activities and things that I engage with, that is tried and true.
So no off switch. And I'd say that would have to be true with everything, just the small bit that you have shared with us, or that I have shared in your introduction, that small list of what you've already done and are doing. You sound like the Energizer Bunny.
I really am. Sometimes I am too much for people in the morning, especially in an office type environment where there's cubicle farms and the light clicking of keyboards and mouses and what have you. And then there's me. I come crashing through like the Kool-Aid man. Hey, oh yeah. Like, Carlos, man, you're out of 10, man. Can you at least dial it down to like a 2 or 3 until I've had at least a cup of coffee or maybe even a pot of coffee to match your energy level? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I learned to just buzz off or turn it down or just funnel that energy into somewhere else. And in fact, it was when we met for my Uber ride, picking up me from a situation that I found myself not necessarily in by my own self-infliction, but just how I live my life and how I get to be there. I had changed my brakes on my car that I affectionately call the Sapphire Sled. Currently, I'm sitting in it. And I didn't have a torque wrench for the job at hand. Thought I had gotten it down pretty well, or the torque enough on it. It ended up not being enough, and the some of the bolts or some of the nuts had worked itself out. And then on 167, trying to get to my mechanic, it actually broke off. A couple of the bolts from the tire shot across Highway 167, hit the Jersey barrier, came back, landed on my car. I skidded and I managed to keep control of the car and pull over. My sister was following me. I had a plan. I had a feeling that something bad like this was going to happen. Sure enough, it happened. Fast forward all the way up to the rental car. I couldn't find someone to pick me up from the Everett place to get me back to my home. And that's where you found me on the other side of the road, waving enthusiastically, as I usually do. And then I just launched into my repertoire of my stream of conscious thinking and speaking and whatever it is at the top of my head at the time. I just believe in a lot of transparency in my transactions with people. I don't understand veiled threats or vague postings about what it is. I just say it, spit it out. Whatever that looks like is going to just be mashed about anyway, and however someone perceives it is how they're going to interpret it. So it doesn't matter how well grafted you put your message together, how you interpret it and how you get it inside your head is how that happens. So I've learned that as much as I want to carefully graph your reaction, Captain, you're going to react to how you're going to react. So is that a galvanizing part of my personality? Is that something that has people gravitate towards me? I have a strong suspicion it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was definitely something that gravitated me toward you. And I just, in meeting you initially, I was intrigued. I was intrigued with your character. I was intrigued with your energy, your vibrancy, and your humor, and the many things that you have going on for you.
Yeah, I do. I do quite a bit. It stems from my mom's early passing. She passed away 49. And wow. As I'm fast approaching that it puts a red flag in my head. That happened over 20 years ago when I was a young man of 21. And one of the many conversations that we had at bedside, because it was gastric cancer, so she passed quickly, 76 days from diagnosis to death.
Wow.
And she had mentioned several things directly and indirectly that she regret. That she didn't do or regret that she did do. And I had decided for my own self, since I would carry on and I'd be a survivor, that I just won't pay for regret. It's the most expensive thing on the planet. And I can't tell you that you can spend all you want on regret and you will never, ever, ever be able to pay it for. So when I'm on my deathbed, and it'll be for all of us at some point, I don't think it brings it down a notch, but I'll be able to smile and say, I did it all. I did whatever it came to my pretty little head, I did it. I facilitated it, or I did something to at least touch on it to make sure that I got it done. So then I won't utter the phrase whatsoever, I regret, ...
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drives me every day to wake up and just start again. There's a current quote that flies around the internet. Every once in a while it hits Facebook. But the quote is, all right, Catherine, I'm going to give you every morning, I'm going to give you $86,400. You can spend it however you wish on whatever it is you want. But at the end of the day, if you have any money left over, you will not get any more. And then the next morning at the strike of midnight, I'm going to give you another $86,400. And what those are seconds in a day. And those are your opportunities to do whatever it is you choose to do in that 86,400 minutes or 86,400 seconds. So I decide to parcel that out to rest and sleep. I actually do need that. I know it doesn't seem like I do, but I do. And then I divide up my day for the rest of it. I'm going to make sure that I spend every penny to its fullest until I run out. And then I just start all over again.
Mm-hmm. So, and with all the things that you've done, I am curious. I would like to hear about this trivia host and game show host.
So I have I'm a subcontractor for Amore Events and Entertainment LLC, and I was picked out of a crowd at Malarkey's Pub in Issaquah, and I'd say within the months or days of a just nasty divorce. She was not a very nice lady, and I was pouting, being depressed, and just feeling depression just leech onto me, and I knew that that was going to lead me down to a very bad path. So I took off for a bar, not one of the better choices, but there was some karaoke there at that particular time, and it was on Wednesdays and Saturday nights. And for months, I would look forward to every Wednesday night and every Saturday, because I figured that I could sing my blues away or sing my little heart out and sing until I can't sing anymore. And the tonality of my song choice would differ on the week of what I was having, or my trials and tribulations would dating in that particular time and my mindset at that particular point in my life. And so the lady, DJ Marie, approached me. She says, "Hey, Carlos, have you ever thought about being a DJ? Oh, I'd love to be a DJ. Have you ever thought about being a karaoke host? Like your job?" And she's like, "Yeah, you're really good at this." And I went, "Really?" And I said, "The voice, it's okay. But your stage presence is quite commanding." "It is?" She says, "Yes. If you haven't seen it, you should look at the crowd when you're on stage and you have a microphone in your hand." Because I just don't say hi in here. I'm like, "What's going on, Malarkeys? Blah, blah, blah. Let's give us some love for DJ Marie and the staff behind the bar." You know, I just took command of the microphone anytime I had my moment. And I felt better. I felt so much better. And it, regardless of the crowd was listening to me or not, I was at least doing the action. So she said, "Okay, well, why don't we try this?" So we tried this karaoke thing, and one thing led to another, and I ended up getting my own equipment, getting my own gigs for her. And I thought that was amazing. And she says, "So I have this gig. It's at Pub 85 in Kirkland. Have you heard of it?" "No, I never do." And she says, "Okay, well, why don't you head on over there? The bar owner is Michelle, and she wants to do trivia every Thursday night." I went, all right. Trivia Thursday. Trivial Thursday is what I made it. I made posters and had friends show up, and I would make up the questions or figure out what I need to do, because I am one of those guys that are just an entrepreneur. Like, what do I need to do to accomplish the goal that I'm trying to get done? And this one is to provide a very fun, but knowledgeable Trivia Thursday at this sleepy little pub in Kirkland to drum up more business for her, or after the sports games, keep the business that's already there in their seats. And I was like, "Well, I can, I'm hired to do the job, so I'm going to do the job well." And then a part of that trivia host is also a game show host. So companies will hire me to be a game show host, seeing how I kind of miss my calling being a Costco supervisor. I probably should be in front of stage lights and camera, entertaining millions of Americans that tune in every week. But those are held down by Drew Carey, Steve Harvey, and all the rest of them.
Oh, I don't know about that. I believe there are opportunities out there just waiting for you, Carlos.
Oh man, I should probably hop on a flight to LA and audition. They're like, "Whoa, this guy, he is a lot. We should probably put him in front of a camera, just watch him go." I don't even think we have to prompt him. Just tell him the microphone is on and tell him the camera is watching, and just watch him go.
right. Well, and I wanted to ask you, and maybe you've already just answered that. Is there anything that you haven't yet done that you dream of doing?
Gosh, you know, I got quite a bit of dreams. I'd love to be on TV. That'd be great. Make a film or a video. Mm-hmm. I've started a project. It was supposed to be a photographic book, and then maybe it would launch itself or metamorphose itself into a short film, or I wasn't quite sure how that was going to look, but what I did know is that I have to write this story, and I made it, I'm just going to be my Tabula Rasa Day declaration, and Tabula Rasa Day is my made-up holiday. I made up my own holiday, and I can tell you a little bit about that story if you're interested in that. However, just a segue over back to, I think one of these days I'd like to just start checking off my bucket list items, and that's body gliding. I don't know if you've heard of that sport or that extreme sport, but you have to be a jump master, and I have to get going on that if I want to do that eventually.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, when are you going to make that happen, Carlos?
Well, you know, I was going to say, I joined this hit body thing, and it said, write down my goals, and then what are you doing? What are your actions today to further your goal or what have you? And I was like, oh, so I'll work on the tiny ones first, and then I'll work on the bigger ones as a larger tapestry of it. Because I would have to, I would want to feel accomplished with these other goals before I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be getting my house right and getting my mind and body right. I'm not in a really good spot. That's why I came out of Zumba class, actually, a little bit earlier to make sure I hit the podcast on time.
Sure. Well, and that's the best way to do it, isn't it? So many people get caught up in their big dreams, which are important to have. Unfortunately, so many people get so caught up in those big dreams that they don't see the steps to get there, and then they end up being discouraged and frustrated, and they give up before they even try. And what you're showing to us or portraying to us is the importance of you have this big dream, and those big dreams have to start with small steps. And there's a series or a process that you need to go through in order to prepare yourself to get to that big dream. And I'm an advocate of John Maxwell. I've actually been through his training, and I'm certified to coach with a lot of his material. And his belief is that goals are important, and even more importantly is to focus on your growth. Because when you focus on your goals, it's so much easier to get frustrated and discouraged. When you focus on your growth, you're naturally going to grow toward accomplishing those goals. So for you, what you're doing here is, you know that in order to be this, to get into body gliding, you know that there are some steps now that you need to take to prepare yourself for that, like getting your body in shape, maybe building up some muscles, that kind of stuff. So that's what you're working on. You're in there, you're doing Zumba, you're taking whatever steps that you're taking to prepare yourself and to grow yourself toward reaching that dream.
Absolutely. My dad had taught me a valuable life lesson. I had a lot of teenage angst. As you can imagine, I was even more energetic as a teenager. It's almost unbearable to most. And I would have large mood swings from anywhere from elation and ecstatic to depression and suicide. And it's like, wow, I gotta find out what's going on with this kid. And I'd tell him that here's like this thing and that, and it's this big problem, it's this big huge overwhelming issue. And so he says, well, son, I got a question for you. Yeah, yeah, sure, shoot. And he says, didn't this lead to that and that lead to this and all that, and then all of a sudden it's a big problem? So at some point, it was all these little problems, and they all added up to one big thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. And he says, well, why don't you just break it down to its elemental parts that it started with and just fix those issues or go with that? And then one after another, it'll tick away the rest. And by the time the end of the day or the end of the process itself, you'll find that you have solved all of it.
Mm-hmm.
What? No.
It can't be that easy.
Like, no. And he says, well, what you're doing right now isn't working, correct? Yes. He says, so what have I taught you? He says, well, if you don't have a plan that works, borrow someone else's until it does, and then make it your own and toss away the other. He says, exactly. So you don't have a plan. I've given you one. Why don't you use it? And off we go. And so sure enough, that was the beginnings of my problem solving issues or critical thinking skills or on the fly management. That has been the crux of it all, where like, okay, what is the basic or underlying or underpinning thing that we need to solve so that the rest of this will just cascade into success? Boom, there you go. Truth in a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Those are some very wise words that your father shared with you. I love my dad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He didn't take most of his advice, although he was a soothsayer and he would dispense it like no one's business. But I don't think he followed a good portion of it. But I'm glad that I am his son and that I did follow it, because I'm a successful person in my own mind, if not on piece of paper or vocals of bifocals of others. But I find myself happy and content and successful in everything that I tackle. That's why I tackle a lot.
Mm-hmm. When you say you're successful in your own mind, isn't it true that success, it really is up to you? It is nobody else's responsibility to define what success is to you. That is all up to you to decide what is success to you, right?
Right. I mean, you have the ownership of it. So if you have the ownership of that particular thing, project, or level of success, if you're the barometer for it, then you get to deem whether it was or was not. And no one outside of that is going to tell you different. I mean, they'll agree or disagree, but honestly, it's not their thing. It's not their, they don't have that ownership that you do. Maybe you do on a co-project or what have you, but honestly, you get to, I mean, you're the one who stands up and shouts at the top of the world, yes, I did it. Mm-hmm. You did. Well, what did you do, Catherine? I'm like, blah, 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 I did this. I'm like, oh, great. Fantastic. And they want to share in that success if they hadn't known about it already, or if they weren't part of your process to get to your success. But I feel very strongly about that, that you get to determine whether you're successful or not, because that's what they'll do any time I've been through management training or supervisor training or even therapy sessions where they just talk you through your issue. Because I always had that stigma in my head that they were these great gurus of information and knowledge from those past and years past or what have you, and that you just crawl up the mountain to get this information. And honestly, the first couple sessions, I'm like, you're not giving me any advice. I'm like, no, we're not. I said, are you going to give me any advice? They're like, no. I'm like, why? This is because we're here to help you talk you through your own issue. Forget it then. I paid my money. I walked out. I could talk to myself all day long, and I don't need to pay someone to it. I don't need to hear my own voice. Although, despite what some people will jokingly chide me about, I don't need to hear my own voice. I already got a strong voice inside my head that drives me to do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. So, were you? It sounded like you were going to add something to that. I'm sorry.
I thought, and then I was like, nah, I thought better of it. I'm like, no, I'll just keep it there.
So, Carlos, you've shared a lot. You've even got into some fairly personal experiences that you've struggled with in your own life, and you've shared a little bit about some people like your father who have shared some great words of wisdom that helped you. And I would like to have you just take all of that, and if you were to summarize, what has been the greatest impact in your life that has created the successes that you've achieved? What would you say is your personal key to success?
In a word, determination. Mm-hmm. Just grit. I learned when I was a kid that I wasn't very athletic, I'm not very smart, I'm not very studious, I'm not very anything, but by golly, I have got hard work and dedication, and I just kept after it. And I have a tattoo that's on my left calf, and it says and simply summarizes my entire life starting after my divorce, which is keep digging. It's a phrase that people throw around for personal trainers, and it just means to keep going, you know, don't quit. I don't like using negative words. I don't like saying, like, never give up. Those are concrete words.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, they don't allow for any fallacy, and humans make mistakes all day long, like today for me. I mistakenly forgot one of my water bottles. I have three, and I forgot one at home. But never and always and ever, all those are very concrete words to me, and doesn't mm-hmm. allow for anything to be and or to be better. It never, it just, those are just concrete words, and it just sets me off. So I made sure that it was a positive tonality to it, which is keep digging, and that means to literally don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just dig in there deeper. If you need to find other resources, if you need to partner yourself with others that have better resources, perhaps you need to redirect what you are trying to accomplish. Maybe you're not supposed to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish at the time. The universe or fate or gods of the gods or someone is redirecting you in a very subtle way. I found that sometimes when I grind away at a particular project, I'm not very successful at it. Probably wasn't meant to do it. And I have to take a step back, take a beat, take a breath, reevaluate and say, huh, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe I should be doing this instead. And that, like I said, that goes back to my 86,400 seconds. If I'm finding that I'm frustrated or not finding that success, should probably do something else.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because every second counts, right?
Absolutely. Even the ones right now.
Yes. Well, Carlos, I hope it's been a good use of your seconds this morning. I have certainly Absolutely. Enjoyed. Thank you. I've certainly enjoyed having you on the show. And I love everything that you share. A lot of the listeners that will hear this are people who they too have been through their own challenges and struggles. And your words, I believe, will be very impactful in making a difference in someone else's life. So thank you for sharing.
Oh, you're very welcome. If I can help just one person smile, be inspired, get pumped up, you know, like after they put down the podcast, I'm like, man, that guy is on fire. I want to be like that guy. I would be so pleased as punch. I really would. I just want to have a positive impact wherever it is that I go, whoever I see, and whatever I say.
Wonderful. That's a great way to close it out. Thank you, Carlos.
Very welcome. Have a good morning.
You too.
Bye.